ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Gradually our body is being devoured by the imperfect only the body is decaying. It actually decaying flesh, although we may not realize it. Under that legal body. Similarly, there are lots of karma acting on us. Similarly, there is law of last thought acting on every living being. Whatever living being sees to become a foot, he is awarded the next body. So these are all subtle laws which are existing in the material world, although we may not see with our eyes. And these laws are applying on every living being. And then the results are coming, and in this way, from intelligent activities, the fruits are being awarded. So, Nunam Pramatta Kurute Viparna Indriya Kurute Aptanati. Shukadeva says, when does a living being perform this Viparna? Nunam Pramatta Kurute Viparna. If you are not Pramatta, it is impossible for you to perform Viparna. Matta means mad. Pramatta means sufficiently mad. So, Nunam Pramatta Kurute. When a living being is sufficiently mad, with the desire of enjoying the senses, that indriya priti apalati. Indriya priti means the desire to enjoy the senses. Then he performs the karma. So, every one of us is awarded with so many senses to enjoy. And with every one of our senses, we try to enjoy. Shastra gives so many examples. We can say one or two. If you see the fish, how does a fisherman catch a fish? He shows a meat, he shows a bait. The bait of meat, he puts it in a hook, puts it in water. When the fish sees the piece of meat, he becomes greedy to enjoy it. He tries to catch it. Immediately it's caught. Now his mouth and he has taken it, and he has to experience a fatal death after that. Just because he had a greedy desire to enjoy the meat. In the same way, Maya has so many types of traps in this world. And a foolish, unintelligent living entity becomes a victim of all Maya's allurements and attractions. In fact, the living being is constantly tossed left and right, up and down, by the ways of Maya in this world. Maya doesn't have just one or two. She has millions of traps with which she is trapping every living entity. Some of them are brought. Some of them are subtle, some of them are very subtle, that they cannot be even understood by the living entities. And living entities are becoming victim to that. So in this way, Indriya Pritya is actually sense gratification for the eyes, the form for the eyes, the beautiful form of the opposite sex, the enticing smile and enticing speech and cognitive smile and sensuous movements can completely charm the heart of the conditioned soul. A man for a woman and a woman for a man. But this rupa, the form of opposite sex, is actually the creation of the illusory energy of the lab. The devotee can see that. The devotee understands when a devotee is offered an attraction by Maya, he can clearly see that it is actually arrangement of Krishna. That Maya is testing in this way. The devotee can escape from that. But as soon as unintelligent living entity thinks it is an opportunity to enjoy, you try to enjoy and you fall to victim to that. So in this way, for the eyes, for the ears, for the tongue, for the nose, and for the skin, for every one of them there are, there are eyes and senses that are available in this world. So this is the meaning of indriya priti. What is indriya priti? So this is Nunam Pramatta Kurute. One becomes mad, just like a moth entering a fire. Not when he sees the bright fire at a long distance, he thinks that must be something special. And he tries to enjoy it when he becomes completely fried in the blazing fire. In the same way, the living being who has completely disturbed senses and the flickering mind, lusty intelligence, he tries to enjoy everything of his material world. This way he gets entangled. Human Pramatta Kurute. So, when a living entity is so lusty, then his mind also works that way. He wants to work very hard for achieving this enjoyment. That's the threat from Krishna. We can see right from the ancient history how so many living beings have come and gone, and how many, many of them have made plans to enter the threat from Krishna. Ravan, he wants to make some method by which people can be delivered to the heavenly planets without doing any pious accumulating any punya. According to Shastra, if one wants to get handy tonight, one has to perform some punya. And if one does simple activities, one will go to house planets. But according to Ravan, he said, why should he perform yajna? Why should he perform dan? Why should he perform tapasya? What is the need of all this? I will make a staircase by which you can directly go to heaven. You don't have all my rakshasa friends can, you all can go to the holy planet and enjoy. He was trying to make a staircase. Similarly, you see Hiranyakashipu, by his penance, he wanted to reverse the result of pious and sinful activity. That means those who perform sins can enjoy heavenly delights. Those who perform pious activity should go to hell. That was his idea. So this is the nature of demons. They do not want to surrender to the order of God, will of God. They always make plans by which they can separately enjoy. This tendency is not only found in the scriptures, we find even in the modern times. The same tendency of Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Shishupala is found in channeling living entities. They are finding crooked ways and means by which they can get quick pleasures from this world. Of course, they are ready to work hard for that. They work very, very hard for that and enjoy, but they don't want to worship God. What is the difference between Sura and Asura, the demigod and the demon? Actually, demigod and demon both have the same goal. They both want to enjoy. Demigod wants to enjoy, and the demon wants to enjoy. But the difference is, demigods, they want to enjoy through the authority of the Lord. And demons want to enjoy separate from the Lord. They don't want to adopt the method taught by the Lord. First of all, they don't want to bow down to the Lord. Their main goal is to reject the Lord's authority and enjoy in their own way. In fact, they are ready to work very hard in order to achieve enjoyment. But they don't have any faith in God. So the symptom of a demon, first symptom of a demon is that he has no faith in God's authority. He doesn't accept the authority of God. That is what Prabhupada writes, the definition of sin. What is the meaning of sin? Sin means he is defining sin in the Ishat-Nishat. Well, how does it begin? A deliberate disobedience to the laws of God by disregarding his proprietorship. In definition, deliberate disobedience. So, the demon may be either ignorant or negligent. Both are not the same, actually. Somebody is ignorant of the God's laws, so they are breaking God's laws. Like we were telling about the fish who is eating the meat and getting caught by the fisherman. In the same way, they are making organized slaughterhouses to kill poor innocent cows. Hundreds and thousands of cows are being slaughtered, even in India, for the sake of satisfying the palate. Once it goes down the throat, that happens to us. Just imagine. Just as satisfying is one small piece of flesh, namely the tongue. So they want to organize big slaughterhouses and kill such a poor innocent animal, cows. It doesn't do any harm to them. On the other hand, it gives milk as a kind mother. So they want to kill such an innocent animal for the sake of eating flesh. So in the same way, the demons have a nature to find out ways and means to enjoy, but without following God's order, disregarding his proprietorship. Deliberate disobedience. So, some demons may be ignorant that if I do all these activities, I am going to be bound. I am going to suffer. But you see, Mrigari was not many, you know, stoned animals. The Narada came and revealed to him what is going to happen to him after that. Then he becomes fearful and he surrenders. But somebody may be negligent. Negligent is actually knowing the truth. They know what is right and what is wrong, but they will still not follow. They are also demons. The demigods are those who want to enjoy, but they are following the Lord's authority. So the shastras are called as Parakshavada, which is the Vedas. Parakshavada means directly they do not tell you the truth, but they tell the truth like this, in a roundabout way. How? The shastras don't tell people directly, especially the Vedas, that you have to surrender to Radha and Krishna. Karudama and Parutecha. Surrender everything to the Lord. You are not the enjoyer. If you try to enjoy independent of God, you are a rascal. You don't say like that. Correctly. If you tell a person you want to enjoy, come on, you can enjoy in this way. There are facilities to enjoy. So as I say, you do this kind of particular Vedas, then you can get Shona. You get prosperity. What is prosperity? If you have heard the meaning of the word prosperity, Shona, it is not just facilities. Foolish modern people think that prosperity means having a lot of facilities. I have a fridge at home, we have a color television at home, you have a cellular phone at home, you have a computer, and we have dish antenna, we have cable TV. There are so many things. So they think we have a lot of facilities. So we are very happy. That is not at all considered to be happiness. It is not a platform of happiness. Real samriddhi or kshema or prosperity means, it is saying in Srimad Bhagavatam, the mountains should be filled with minerals, the oceans should be filled with nagaratnas, pearls, diamonds, emeralds, coral, and all those things. Similarly, the cows should have their udder filled with milk overflowing. As in Vrindavan, we hear cows, udders were filled with milk, and they were oozing milk, and everywhere the ground was filled with milk. There was milk kitchen. There was muddy milk everywhere. When Krishna was entering Dwarka, do you know what the residents were doing? They were drinking milk, isn't it? They were drinking milk. They were putting all chashinas and costly things. They were putting in the red cereals. Who will put chashinas and bread? Imagine. And they were throwing makkan in different places. This is all considered a sign of auspiciousness. So this way, when cow produce so much milk, and milk you get dahi, from dahi you get, you can churn it and you can get butter, from butter you can get ghee. And using all these things, you can make so many sweet, delicious preparations. And you have cows and you have a pool, you can make, you can have famine, and you can grow so many grains. And when you have the oceans and mountains producing so many minerals and agarakas and all these things, and then people are supposed to have a life of Shona, prosperity. In fact, so much gold people have. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam, there was a great king called Maruta. He was so rich that he would give brahmanas so many things in charity in golden plates. And the brahmanas were charity masters. They never wanted to take the gold plate. So they would accept whatever was given in that and they would throw away the gold plate. So in this way, so much gold plates were thrown. And later on, Arjuna, when Yudhishthira was about to perform Rajasri Yajna, so Arjuna went to the north to collect gold in different places. So he saw the Maruta kingdom, there were so many golden plates thrown by the Brahmanas. That is why Arjuna as far as Dhananjaya, he went for collecting the Brahmanas, collecting gold. So in this way you see so much prosperity in the ancient history of this city. But today what prosperity we have? All that we use is plastic glasses, plastic plates, which cannot be even, actually it's not disposable issue. They say due to accumulation of plastic waste. So, nowadays the modern technique is in Japanese countries, you have to create things which get destroyed very quickly, so that the company can produce more and more. To buy one more. Or you have these hybrid seeds. Hybrid seeds, if you sow them, they grow once and that's all they are finished. But then you have to buy more seeds from market. So they want to exploit the farmers by making them come to market and buy more and more. And this is the farmers are exploited. But if you see the crops, natural crops, they come once and after you reap them, again they grow. You can raise them, again they grow. They can put the seeds and they grow very easily. And now you see the hybrid seeds made by without anything special that they are made newly. Everything ultimately takes from nature and modified. So in this way, the modern culture, if you see the type of civilization that we have today, there is no shame in it. There is no prosperity. That prosperity you have attached letterings that stay next to the regions, the same home. And they stay in a house like a pigeonhole. There are about 50 or 60 to the more than one flag, change to a small flag. Because we are not finding fault with any particular city or somewhere, any city you go. Not exaggerate, to be very frank with you. When I was going by, I was living in a house, I was in 20 rooms. And on the back side, we had a big garden, and we had a big well, and we would water the trees, coconut trees. There were about probably about 80 coconut trees. So we water in the evening, it was a big house. So, I even remember it fresh in my mind when we were small children, maybe about 5 years or 6 years. The house to walk from there to there, it takes such a long time. There was 70% of the house wall, bright sunlight will come. Houses are so big, people need a very happy life. And so much grain should come from the sun. Today, nobody is living such an opulent life, even the richest of the rich people, which you see. They think they are very prosperous. But if you very closely observe their life, there is no real prosperity. So the Shastras say, when you want prosperity, then you have to follow the guidelines of the Vedas. As the Vedas say, you do these figures, you will have ample rain, and there is ample rain, and the crops can come up. Today there is so much charge to a food supply. We are saying the food supply is charged because the population has increased. This is the reason that foolish human beings are doing. The population increases by certain rate. If you go between Bombay to Pune, you see so much areas which are empty. There is nobody who has occupied the place. That way everywhere, if you see, cities are densely populated like a honeycomb. But if you go out of the cities, you find so much ample empty place lying. So, in this way, people, greedy people, they create cities from beautiful nature that God has created. And in this way, they complicate the life more and more. So the Lord says in the scriptures that if you want, in this way, if you want shame or prosperity, you have to follow the Vedic lifestyle. So one has to perform dharma if you want artha. Even if one wants to earn artha, wealth or prosperity, then one has to perform dharma. If you want ample rain, there is Indra Puja. If you want ample gold, you want all the other things that nature is awarding us. Even for the crops to grow, there are prayers in the Vedas. You have to put in the seeds, there are so many prayers. It is a spiritual activity. It is not a mundane activity. If you see in the farmers, they sow the seeds, they have puja. After sowing the seeds, they have puja. By reaping, they have puja. And while sending it to the market, first lot, they offer to God. It is a spiritual activity. So, within the Vedas, the details are given. How the one wants to become wealthy, or wants to accumulate a lot. Then there are prescriptions given. In this way, you can achieve. Or you want to go to higher planets, there are prescriptions given. So one of the fathers is, the prescriptions is called as a devata, a demigod. They are performing karma. So first we discuss about vikarma. Vikarma is performed by those who are the money of the nature. They do not want to follow God's laws. In fact, the demon thinks, all the things that I have accumulated is all by my own endeavor. I work so hard, so I accumulate so much. If you work little more hard, then I will accumulate little more. This is the idea. He never sees the hand of God in his life. He is completely blind. In fact, none of us can see. Even a devotee can immediately, a devotee also cannot see the hand of God in any of his faces. It is not possible. But how do we know the hand of God in our life? How do we know? So we all are finding to God, are we able to see? How do we feel that? This is all by your understanding, you are saying. There is a great order because of which we know that everything is coming from God. We understand, that's certainly correct. Something wrong. But how do we know the hand of God in our life? So these are all things we understand. Actually, we understand the authority. Here he explains that we should learn the truth from authorities. So the hand of God can be understood by following the authority. Mahadino, Jainagata Sakunda. So, when we talk of karma, when we talk of people performing action according to God, this is as initiated the Vedas, if you see, that is actually not a pure activity. Because there is a desire to enjoy, but in connection with God. That's like, if a child is not agreeing to take medicine, then the mother may give some sugar candy. On one hand she may say sugar candy, on the other hand medicine. So child is afraid of the medicine, but he is very fond of sugar candy. Mother says, you come here, if you take little of this, I'll give you little of this. So she is convincing the child somehow to take the medicine. In the same way, what is the medicine? Surrendering to God. Nobody wants to do that. That is the last thing they want to do in their life. Anybody in this world will ask. The talk of God pretends on people. They don't want to hear. Because you know, if you talk of God, immediately it's going to follow with some rules. You should not do this. You should do this. It's not possible for me. Just leave me alone. I won't enjoy separately. So this is the nature of every living being in this world. But somehow or other, the person for the first time in his life starts bowing down to God. And he suffers a lot of miseries in the world. After minimal life once. He agrees, okay, let me follow the Vedas. Then he calls the Brahmanas and he tells them, please teach me how I can grow a lot of crops, how I can beget a child, how to be free from all troubles, do something. So he is desiring something material, but he is ready to follow the authority of God. This is the beginning of surrender to God. And in this way, then he goes on following the sacrifices as given in the scriptures. So he may perform a sacrifice or some puja, according to the scripture. So gradually, he starts advancing in knowledge. Because he has begun to bow down to God, gradually God will elevate him in his knowledge. So gradually, when he continues performing his yajna, he sees that although he doesn't want his family members to die, he sees that gradually family members die. Gradually, he is growing old. And he understands that the life in this material world is very short and very brief. So he says, what is the use of this life? I should do something better. Then he asks the Brahmanas, is there anything better? When they tell him, there is only time of where he can live for thousands of years. Then he thinks, I want to enjoy these things, but let me enjoy in the heavens for thousands of years, instead of enjoying for a brief period of 100 years. Then he requests them, please teach me how to perform Jyotishthana sacrifice and these different sacrifices. When we perform sacrifices for elevation to higher planets. So when we talk of elevation to higher planets, naturally the seed of eternal life is there in such a state. Because as soon as he agrees that after many minutes I will go to heaven, that means he agrees that I am not the body. Is it not? That means he understands after death I still survive. Because I go to the heavenly planets and I will enjoy that. That means the spirit of man has already begun. From this point, he accepts that I am not the body, I am the spirit soul. Indirectly, not very directly. So he deserves that we go to heaven. And then when he is preparing for going to heaven, or after he has gone to heaven, he comes to know that even in heaven nobody is peaceful. Indra is so fearful of Vishantra performing penance. He wants to kill his leg. He cannot see anybody performing penance or yajna. If somebody performs above 90 yajnas, Indra becomes fearful. He will take away my post. Then he wonders, oh, what is the use of being even Indra of heaven? Indra is the greatest demigod in heaven. There is no use. Even the demigods are in anxiety. And he also gets to know that there are demigods and demons in hell fighting for position and for position in wealth and enjoyment. Then he observes, that means the world is full of suffering. So he understands, even if I go to the planet of demigods, I have to come down to this Narakuloka again. Then he understands this. Then he begins to understand the basic part, explaining the Bhagavad Gita, the Kalam, Ashita. The material world is a place of misery. Whether I am here or whether I go to honey planets. Then he decides, I want to get out of this world. That is called Artha, Kama, and Moksha. So, earlier he performed dharma for the sake of accumulating wealth, Artha. And that after accumulating wealth, he thought, now let me enjoy. So he performed more and more dharma to get more and more artha. But then finally he realizes that everything is full of suffering in this world. So he wants to get out of this world. That's called as moksha. Let me get out of suffering. I don't want to be in this world. So he asks that I do for liberation. Then he comes to the path of jnana, jnana marga. Then he is trying to understand what is the absolute truth of atma brahma jignasa. He says, in understanding about the absolute truth. And in this way, these are all coming in the region of karma only. So when he is performing all this karma, and accumulating punya. But then the first step when he takes towards understanding the absolute truth, and there begins the transcendence. The akarma begins from that. That is the meaning of akarma. Akarma means the actions which you perform without desiring the fruits or without wanting to enjoy the fruits. They are called as akarma. Have you seen anybody in this world who is ready to perform an activity without desiring the fruits? See, according to Vedas, Vedas say you give some dan to somebody. So they give dan to a brahmana. Thinking that, if I gave him 1 rupee, now I will get 1,000 rupees next life. Isn't it? Or there is some tapasya. Why do people perform tapasya? By performing tapasya, you get more and more wealth, more and more enjoyment. Dan, tapa, yajna, all those things are done with that motive. People are so fond of touching the feet of sadhu. So when a great sadhu comes, that's why your wife, they know, it is very auspicious. I can get lot of children in my life, prosperity in my life. So everyone, naturally, if you see in this world, performs any action with a desire for some fruitful results. And that will be in which one desires. Law abiding, in following the laws of God. So one may say, what is wrong in that? Very nice. Yeah, I'm only getting God's love. On the other hand, you are also getting what you want. What is that? Everything appears to be wonderful. But if you carefully observe, it is nothing but a promotion from a C-class jail to an A-class jail. The A-class jail may have better facilities. The A-class jail, you may be kept in a house with sofa set, you may have television, you may have papers to read. You may be living a nice life. But jail is a jail, ultimately. So in C-class jail, you may have punishments. Similarly, life on higher planets, right, is also within the region of the material world. It is no good. So once you try to get out of this kind of life also, that is why karma and vikarma, both are considered to be sinful by Vaishnava devotees. You will be shocked to know how can good karma be considered sinful. Everything that makes you forget Krishna is considered sinful. Or anything that takes you away from complete surrender to Krishna is considered sinful. That is a proper right in front of the purpose. He says, in page 244, in the Gita Paragraph. One who has learned perfectly knows that every living entity is an eternal servitor of the Lord, and that consequently one has to act in Krishna consciousness. The entire Bhagavad Gita is directed towards this conclusion. Any other conclusions? Against this consciousness and its attendant actions are vikarmas, are physical actions. So it is very strongly. That means even the activities like elevation to higher planets, are desiring some material objects in the material world. Even by accepting the Veda, it is not considered very elevated. Because that is also offering us something very temporary. And we are wasting our most valuable time, which could be otherwise utilized for going back home back to Godhead. So, vikarma is very dangerous. Because it can lead one to lower and lower forms. As Krishna explains later in the 16th chapter, such people who perform vikarma, they go to hell. And in hell, they go even further down into the body of cats and dogs and cockroaches and worms in the steel and amoeba. They go down to lower and lower forms. Whereas those who perform karma, they may be elevated to heavenly planets and again they may come down and they may be continuing the time in the material world, as we were telling about going from one jail to another jail. Whereas only performs akarma, or activity in pure goodness, actions and Krishna consciousness. Such a person alone can be taken back home back to Godhead. So how can we know what are the activities in Krishna consciousness? If you also want to know how to perform, it's not even by reading the scriptures. Because it is said, Tattva, Pratishtha, Satya, Vibhinna. There are so many scriptures. One scripture will tell you one thing, another scripture will tell you another thing. You may get thoroughly confused. By reading ourselves, you can never come to any conclusion. The real truth is hidden in the heart of a pure devotee. Dharmasya tattvam, nihitam guhayam, maha vina yena katha satvanta. Simply by seeing a devotee who is leading a pure life, by complete surrender to Krishna, by seeing the devotee's lifestyle and following in his footsteps, we can achieve the truth. There is no other second way. That's why he says, Mahajana Yana Gata Sapanta. There are 12 Mahajanas mentioned in the scriptures. Beginning from Brahma, Sayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Mahalada, Janaka, Vishnu, Balu, Vyasacha, Vayam. Vayam means myself. Yamraj says this. So he says, my humble self, at the end he says. So in this way, he is listing 12 Mahajanas. Who are the ones in whose footsteps we all should follow? So following in their footsteps, we can achieve perfection as they have achieved perfection. This is the method that we should follow. So if we want to do a karma, we may say, why not read the scriptures and understand? But even after reading scriptures and understanding the principles of truth, sometimes we can be put into confusion. Why the 12 Mahajanas are mentioned? Every Mahajana we can take one incident and we can explain how there are situations where you will not be able to make decisions. But by hearing the wisdom of Mahajana, you will be able to make perfect decisions. I'll tell you one of the examples. Let us take the case of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was a very great king. He had conquered all the three worlds. In fact, he was coming from the dynasty of demons. And he had occupied all the three worlds. And Indra, due to his offense to his spiritual master, had lost his post. Bali had completely conquered everything. Now, the Lord is always favorably disposed towards his devotees. So he wanted to re-establish Indra in his position. At the same time, he wanted to smash the pride of Bali Maharaj. So the Lord took the form of Brahmanadev. And he appeared as a Brahmana dwarf. So when this Brahmana dwarf, when he came, Brahmanadev came to Bali. He asked for small 3 pieces of land. So Bali agreed to give him. Of course, there was a long discussion between them. Why do you need only 3 pieces? I can give you even 3 islands. I can give you 3 planets. And such a great king. Sometimes you go to a very rich man and you ask him something very, very trivial. It was like humiliating him. So Bali felt like that. So then I am a Brahmana and satisfied with the 3 pieces of land. The Brahmana should not take more than what he needs. I'll take only this much. So, and Bali said, yes, you can take it. He was about to offer the argya. He was about to take the offering and come into an offer. Then his guru stopped him, Shukracharya. He said, no, this is Sakshat Vishnu. He has come to cheat you. Please do not take charity away. Tell him, no, it's not possible. You cannot do it. He said, how can I go back in my words? The king asked, because Shukracharya never go back in their words. That Shukracharya said, you have to do that. Actually, both of right, Shukracharya is very upright. But if Bali loses his post, then I will also not get anything. He was not a proper Brahmana. So he was working underground. So, since his master is going to be finished. So, he was trying to somehow stop him. So now we are put in a very critical situation. The Shastra says strongly that you should follow the order of spiritual master. Is it not? So Bali's spiritual master is Shukracharya. Should you follow him or not follow him? Then the Bali told to himself, this is Vishnu asking for a charity. This is Vishnu, then I should be able to give everything for Vishnu's pleasure. Because that is the ultimate culmination of knowledge. That everything is meant for Vishnu's pleasure. Sanskrit Hari Darshanam. The other two Shastras say, Sanskrit Samaj Darshanam, or Sanskrit Kutumba Darshanam. Clearly say, consider Hari Toshana. You have to please the Supreme Lord. Yes, Vishnu has come to take away everything from me. Let him take everything away from me. I don't mind. He made a decision. And he was ready to go against even his own spiritual master. because his preaching also was not so his, our actual goal of life is to surrender to Vishnu at the last come what may in our life. So this way we see how it's a very critical situation that one can be put into confusion. Why should one do? But even in such a situation, Bali Maharaj plays a wonderful role. But he offered everything to Vishnu. That's why his glory is given today to be the best example of Atma Nivedana and deep surrender to everything that he possessed. So Bali is even glorified today. Not only is he glorified him, Lord himself glorified him. He became a great speaker in Sutala Loka. So, sometimes, even after learning the Shastras, it could be put into confusion. So we have to see the life of these great Mahajans. By seeing their lives, we can
because
once in a year, you guys may supply me so many things to eat. I'm very indebted to you. That's because of the death I have from my brother. I'm fighting. I know pretty well that I won't win the war. But just as happens for you, I'm fighting. So it wasn't tamaguna. It just went and fought. Whereas the vision was intelligent enough to understand. Why should I fight for my brother? In this lifetime, Ravana is my brother. In next lifetime, I don't know where I will be born and where he will be born. He will be born in different places. All the living entities in this material world are all individual living beings, like those who are floating in the ocean. We all get separated, never to meet again. We are born in different, different places in every lifetime. The bodily relationships are all temporary. Now we call sometimes brother, sister, father, mother. After we die, we don't know where God did they go and where did we go. We are going to get separated. So the vision I could understand. But although we all are separated, but we have one permanent relationship. With whom? With Krishna. That is permanent relationship. Ravana has a relationship with Krishna and I have a relationship with Krishna. So in that way we are spiritually speaking, we have a relationship. And now we are working against the Lord. So I should not cooperate with him. So you could clearly see through spiritual vision. And he was already a great devotee of Lord Rama. Because when Hanuman took a very small ram and he was going to Sri Lanka, he found him in one place where he saw the vision of sitting and he was chanting, Suram, Jairam, Jairam was chanting. So you could understand he was a very great devotee, even before he was known as a great devotee. So the Lord gave him the intelligence, Sadbuddhi, to understand what is the correct thing to do at that time. So rejected his brother. So in this way, the real meaning of Akarma is ready to go against anything of the world for the sake of surrendering to Krishna. So one has to surrender to Krishna once you're ready to go against anything of the world. So it happens in the life, practically we can see in the life of devotees. When you become a devotee, you may have to make enemies with so many of your good friends. It happens sometimes that many good friends you had before. But now they don't want to see you as a devotee. Maya. So you have to be in Maya. You're supposed to be in Maya. Then you'll be considered normal. But actually everyone in the world is abnormal. Because everyone is having the fever of materialism. Everyone is having 104-105 degrees Fahrenheit fever. So everyone is mad. Menam panattakurupe vikarama indriyatetu abnormal. So they also want us to be like them. If you become a cold-headed devotee, you come back to normal temperature of 98. And you do your activities in sanity, they don't like you. They create enmity with you. They say either you choose Krishna or you choose me. They don't tell you directly, but that's how they behave. Their behavior you can come to know. Sometimes you will be in crossroads. You may have to make strong decisions in life. What should I choose? So Krishna is really going to put everyone up in that situation. Krishna will openly ask you, do you want me or do you want situation? He will really put you in trouble. Everyone of you can see that, particularly in your life. The time will come when they will be thoroughly tested. So in this way, Krishna very intelligently cuts all the unwanted anarthas that we have and gradually makes us thoroughly pure. So the real meaning of akarma, performing action in Krishna consciousness means completely surrendering to Krishna. You will be reading about such a devotee who has surrendered to Krishna, what is his state in the future, shlokas to come. But here is a kim karma kim akarmeti kariyatyatra mohitaha. Kariyatyatra mohitaha. Even the greatly learned men, sometimes even they are bewildered. What is karma, what is vikarma, what is akarma? Sometimes even they can be bewildered. But Shukracharya was a very so-called greatly learned man. So, anybody can be bewildered. So, we have to, whenever you are bewildered, you should just follow the path of the great Mahajanas. And then, throughout, in his last stages, this was not when he was a young boy. This was after he ruled all the kingdom, when he went to, I think, Bhadrikashrama. So, he was chanting, and tears were flowing from his eyes. He was completely absorbed in love of God. And at a long distance, he found Vishnudra coming in a Vaikuntha airplane. And they coming close. Shiva did not know what to do. He was stood up on his place and he was just staring at them. And he could not speak anything. He understood that they had come from Vaikuntha. They had come to take me back from Atugadha. So for a moment he was standing. And what did he do after that? He simply started chanting after that. With arms raised, he started calling out the names of Vishnu. Because understood, whenever you don't know what to do, you simply have to chant the holy names. That's the best thing to do. That's why you will see, wherever you go in yatra, whenever you have free time, you just chant the holy names. You go to a particular place, you don't know what particular prayer has to be prayed, just then chant Hare Krishna mantra. That is the perfect thing that you can do there. The same one time, Dhruva was a little bewildered when the yaksha killed his brother, Uttama. And then Dhruva became so angry that he killed hundreds and thousands of yakshas. And then the master of all the yakshas, Kubera, he had to come. But actually before Kubera came, Dhruva was given a good advice. At that point, there also we read how the great devotees of the Lord gave their association to him and told him about the Narayan mantra. They told Dhruva, you just chant this mantra, you will become peaceful, you will get out of bewilderment. So the association of great devotees, who are the followers of great Mahajanas? We cannot see all these Mahajanas now. That all these Mahajanas have lived their pure life and they have given the pastimes in the scriptures. You can read them, you can hear them from the lips of great devotees who are living in the great devotees are living. So we should hear from them, we should assimilate the great truths that are given to great Mahajanas. And then following in their footsteps, our life will become perfect. So we see in Shastra, wherever the great person is, momentarily they will be immediately guided by the association of devotees. There is no second way. So we need association. So one can gradually assimilate the principles of akarma, although they said it is very difficult. Sadhyasya pramodita. Stop them. You didn't have the guts to stop them. But now, God is telling us to hear the principles of dharma from you. That is the last. Then Bhishma Pitamaha said, I'm very sorry, what can I do? Although we said in Arjuna, the meaning is that if you eat from a simple person, you also become simple. If you eat from sometimes business assets, in the hands of businessmen who want to make a lot of money, so these people have the same mentality. They simply become money makers. They have no proper life. They live like a machine. So that mentality comes from whom the earth wants to accept. That's the person in the hands of devotees, you also become a devotee. So we wanted to highlight this particular fact, but actually it is not true. Although Bishop Pitamaha held a humility said like this, he actually acted according to the will of Krishna. Just imagine, so Krishna asked you to act like a demon. How difficult it is. Even some devotees, they don't want to act like demon in dramas. They know that their image will be spoiled. They know after I come back from the stage, people will look at me, you know, they will stare at me. Nobody will respect me. You give me the role of a hero or a heroine. That I can do. People are going to start about their image. So Krishna is telling them once, you have to be my enemy. So that's your enemy. And the whole world is going to curse you for all time to come. Be ever minded and do it, it is no problem, my Lord. If it pleases you, I will grab that. So Krishna is ready to do that. So that there are some cases. You all have heard of Vitrasra, you know? Vitrasra was apparently a demon, very great devotee. Sometimes we will discuss that pastime, very beautiful pastime. How Vitrasra and Indra's discussion was is very amazing in Bhagavatam. So Vitrasra took the role of a demon, you know, just temporarily for some time. So devotees understand the Lord's will, they are ready to accept anything. That's not a good. Since we took the Gundika Mandir temple for cleaning, there were three stages. The Lord just told them that the Lord told them to clean. So they all were cleaning the temple. So they all accumulated a lot of dust. And the Lord also accumulated a lot of dust. But what the Lord certainly accumulated, it was several times bigger than what the other devotees had accumulated. And the devotees thought, now everything is over. And the Lord said, now you find out finer. When they started finding out finer and finer and finer, they were taking out. Actually, there are about six anarthas mentioned already. So there are anarthas like Kama, Kratu, Matala, Pumaka, Matra, they say. But there are anarthas like Lidhya, Labha, Vatishta, and Kutinati, and Jiva Hinsana. Jiva Hinsana is actually enviousness. Kutinati it begins. Kutinati, then Puja, Labha, Vatishta, Jiva Hinsana. Of other living beings. Jiva Hinsana is not true. Even a sannyasi cannot overcome them sometimes. This is when Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Sisi, the Gundika Mandir Margam came in the Sisi. So Kama Krodha Lobha and all of them also, they can be overcome much easily compared to the desires for profit, adoration, distinction, and enviousness of other living beings, especially other people. So Mahaprabhu told them to clean these things. And then later on he told them, now you clean the temple surroundings. So then they went out and they cleaned the surroundings. All these things have very deep significance. So Bhaktivinoda Saraswati explains. He says, first of all, one has to remove the grass and all that, one has to remove subtle and all that. And why one should clean the surroundings? Because one should remove all one's friends who don't want to become devotees. So to remove them, and we have to surrender ourselves with pure devotees. So then we can also become a pure devotee. Shiva Gandhi are the promises made in the scriptures, namely elevation to heavenly planet. And if you give dan, you get 1,000 times in return. Actually, it is not wrong. It is not something illusory. It is whatever is promised is also true. But then, the person who has been performing vikarma before, for the first time, he begins performing karma by seeing the attractions offered by the Vedas. There is many points of Vedas are not transcendental. Many points of Vedas teach us how to turn our face like that. Karmanmukha Sukrati. And what we perform in Akarma is called Bhaktanmukha Sukrati. Karmanmukha Sukrati is just material punya. It has no special advantage. We will be just going and coming within the material world. So the Vedas, this is the way the Vedas turn a person from your religious life to religious life. That's the beginning of it. Then emphasize dharma for artha, and then kama, moksha. And bhakti comes with a shiromani. It becomes pancham purushartha. It's above all the four purushartas. So regarding that analogy, it says more about akarma. All of it is clear about vikarma and karma, no? And akarma also we discussed in detail today, to some extent. We'll discuss further.
Dharma, actually, dharma can be taken as
Chaya Sakti is only. Yes. Like all the activities that Vedas prescribe for getting some material benefit. They are in colored dharma. Yes. Now, I realize who you are. But when I drink water from the ground, see, then that is an arch. And then the rain, real rain comes after that. Similarly, every devotee, under arch, they get trouble. They never give up Krishna's feet. So what I was trying to say is, although Karna was put in different situations, one of the basic flaws in Karna's life is you never realize Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you have realized that, all the situations would not be, you know, should not have taken it seriously. They would be immaterial for him. He did not realize the most basic fact that Krishna is God. So, that is a very important consideration. Prabhupada says in one of the papers, have you heard of the great king Nala Damayanti? Nala Damayanti, they were very great couples. Prabhupada says Nala Damayanti can be compared to King Yudhishthira. He was such a virtuous king. He was very truthful, he was very honest, he was very good in ruling, but he is not as famous as Yudhishthira. And the scriptures don't talk about him. Why? So if somebody becomes a devotee of the Lord, or even if somebody is envious of the Lord, he is mentioned in the scripture. But if somebody has no connection with the Lord, the scriptures don't give any way to such a person. Then Duryodhana has talked of so much in Mahabharata. But somebody who has thoroughly rejected the Shastras. So Nala Damayanti was like that. Although people were and some people, the Shastras make no mention of them. In the same way, if you take Karna, you may be considered glorious by some people who are actually ignorant, who have no proper understanding of Shastra. The proper devotees, they can understand the characters of Mahabharata and Ramayana in proper perspective. And take shelter of devotees who properly connect to Krishna. Actually, I don't see any place as far as I have heard that he has ever glorified Krishna, except the last stage. I think last will be at the time of death. First, I think he had darshan of Dharma Devata, I think, for all the Dharma that he did. I think last he glorified Krishna, as far as I know. Krishna gave him darshan.
I told him
that you will forget all that I have taught you. I didn't tell that point because of one reason. I had a little doubt that Parashurama taught him only Dhanavidya and not spiritual knowledge. So I had little doubt. If you had taught only Dhanavidya, probably you would not have taught him Krishna as God. So, we don't know whether Parashurama was a spiritual master also. And then immediately Duryodhana came from behind and said, somewhere it is me, they are my people. Who gave you all these facilities? So you please do not go back in your word, you have to give me support. Somebody felt very bad actually. He never wanted to support Duryodhana. So Duryodhana is very intelligent. Also you see, Nikita is also very intelligent in the material world. So very cunning and diplomatic and intelligent. But all their intelligence and defiled at the time of death. Krishna will take away everything. Although they may intelligently do something separate from Krishna, they can never achieve true happiness. So devotee is the antipandas, the return of Krishna, and Krishna intelligently used so many ways to protect them. Hare Krishna, stop here. That is in Ishapanishad. The deliberate disobedience to the Tatratrashi, what is it? Deliberate disobedience to the laws of God through disregarding his proprietorship. Deliberate disobedience to the laws of God through disregarding his proprietorship. So the purpose of this today's class, is to clearly understand the differences between dikarma, karma and akarma. Just to clearly digest these three things. Only then we will know